basic concepts in the Quran. This program is based on the works of Harun Yahya. Many concepts with which we are familiar in our daily lives take place in the Quran. Wisdom, patience, loyalty, unbelief, and the favors of Allah are some of these concepts, to name a few. These concepts, which we will talk about in more detail in the minutes to follow, are the key to an understanding of the Quran. The majority of the aforementioned concepts are, however, used in quite different connotations in the course of our daily lives. Should those somewhat conversant with the Quran establish their Quranic standpoint on the basis of these connotations, they will surely come to have a poor grasp of its content. Let's take wisdom as an example. Wisdom is randomly used to express intelligence, smartness, cunningness, vigilance, etc. Yet, none of these meanings bear any similarity whatsoever to the word's actual meaning in the Quran. In its real sense, wisdom is a favor granted exclusively to believers, and it changes depending upon the strength of personal faith. Wisdom enables one to display a righteous attitude and conduct to earn the pleasure of Allah, observe Allah's limits, and obey the commandments of Allah. The only way for a person to measure Allah with his true measure and distinguish good from evil is to employ wisdom. An unbeliever, albeit an intelligent one, can never employ wisdom. He can be very intelligent, yet, being unfaithful, he can never conceive what wisdom really is. He simply believes that intelligence is synonymous with wisdom. Some, on the other hand, construe wisdom as a kind of intelligence blended with some sort of dignity and maturity. In reality, however, an unbeliever, even a mature, experienced, intelligent, and sober one, lacks wisdom. As another example, let's take the concept of an-nafs, that is, the soul, which is used in the Quran while elaborating on man's nature. The soul, meaning an-nafs in Arabic, as commonly used in the Quran, means ego, or one's personality. In the Quran, Allah explains the two aspects of soul, the one inspiring evil and wicked deeds, and the other, guarding against every inculcation of evil. As Allah makes it clear in Surah Shams, verse 8, He has proportioned it and filled it with both its debauchery and its sense of duty. The information provided in the verses about the soul is of great importance. In the creation process of man, Allah proportioned the human soul and filled it with its debauchery. Debauchery, that is, fujur in Arabic, means committing sin and stirring up rebellion, telling lies, disobedience, transgression, moral corruption. Apart from the wicked side of the soul, from Surah Shams, we know that Allah also inspired in the soul a conscience, i.e., a sense of what is wrong and right for it. In the second part of the verse, we learn that one who sincerely accepts the wickedness of his soul and purifies it by the guidance of the inspiration of Allah will attain salvation for all eternity. This is indeed a certain and true salvation, earning the approval, mercy, and heaven of Allah. Those, on the other hand, who fail to banish the wickedness from their souls will face the fearsome end. At this point, an important conclusion may be drawn. Every soul has wickedness in itself. The only way to purify it is to accept it and to observe the limits of Allah by the guidance of Allah. The difference between believers and unbelievers becomes quite clear at this point. Only Quranic teaching provides an inner understanding of the wicked side of the soul and the ways to remedy it. As the verse suggests, the members of the ignorant society simply surrender themselves to the evil of their souls, and thus always challenge the true religion and its messengers. Such individuals fail to save their souls from greed. This being so, we may well observe that all unbelievers demonstrate an absolute submission to the evil of their souls. Believers, on the contrary, are conscious of the obvious existence of Allah. They fear our Lord, and thus they take care to observe His limits. They never surrender to the evil in their soul. They do not cover it, but disclose it and guard against it as Allah inspires. From the foregoing, we have a clear understanding of the evil side of the soul. However, the soul is also open to the instigation of righteousness. In other words, to the inspiration of Allah. This inspiration makes a person turn to himself and restrain his soul from fulfilling lower desires. This inspiration leading man to righteousness and this faculty of judging between right and wrong is commonly referred to as conscience. Conscience is an infallible compass within the human soul, continuously calling man to righteousness. On that account, conscience is, in a way, the guiding voice of Allah. Provided that a person listens to this voice and embraces the basic principles of the Quran, he will always proceed in the right way. The human conscience functions in compliance with all of Allah's commandments. However, the criteria of the conscience given in the Quran are quite different from those adhered to by society. Feeding stray dogs or giving charity to a beggar are typical examples reflecting the inherent understanding of conscientiousness in society. The conscience of a believer, on the other hand, demands complete compliance with the commandments and prohibitions of the Quran. Furthermore, one comprehends and implements the details of many issues stated in general terms in the Quran by the guidance of one's conscience. We just analyzed the two aspects of the soul, the one inspiring evil and wicked deeds, and the other guarding against every inculcation of evil. In the Quran, the word hawa is used to express the evil side of the soul. Hawa is defined as desire, passion, lust, and all negative internal factors spoiling man. The unique guidance for the societies of ignorance is this negative and evil side of the soul, namely, the hawa. Satisfying vain desires and passions becomes a way of living for them. In such a state of mind, it becomes almost impossible for them to comprehend the teachings of religion. Allah informs that such people who are under the control of their own whims and desires are unable to grasp the Quran and the preachings of the Prophet. For such people, whims and desires become the basis upon which to judge between right and wrong. This is also a clear manifestation that a person worships his own soul, or to put it another way, his ego. In the Quran, this state is called taking one's own vain desire as one's God. Surah Jassiyah, verse 23 reads, "Then do you see such a person as takes as his God his own vain desire? Allah has, knowing him as such, left him astray, and sealed his hearing and his heart, and understanding, and put a veil over his eyes. Who then will guide him after Allah has withdrawn his guidance? Will you not then receive admonition?" All the commandments of the Quran are in compliance with man's conscience and determined in accordance to his needs. So, what must be done is to follow the religion Allah communicates to man through revelation. For this reason, Allah warns those who take their own vain desire as their God with the suffering and torment they will live both in this world and in the hereafter. Do not forget that the only way for salvation, both in this world and in the hereafter, is to live by the morals of the Quran and encourage others to do the same. We already mentioned in our previous program that there are two different aspects of the human soul, the one inspiring the evil and wicked deeds, and the other guarding against every inculcation of evil. Wisdom and non-wisdom are closely related to those two aspects of the soul. The Quran informs us that the consequence of following whims and desires is non-wisdom. Adhering to the better side of the soul, on the other hand, brings wisdom. A person who becomes the slave of his wishes and desires, and thus does not keep himself occupied with the remembrance of Allah, very soon loses his faculty of wisdom. In the Quran, Allah refers to these people as people devoid of wisdom. At first sight, this may seem incomprehensible. The majority of people take it for granted that everyone has wisdom, constant and at the same level, never undergoing changes with time or circumstances. There is, however, some confusion due to the interchangeable use of the concepts of intelligence and wisdom. Intelligence and wisdom are quite different concepts. Everyone can be intelligent, but wisdom is only possessed by those who have faith. Knowing that following the wicked side of the soul leaves a man deprived of wisdom, what should be the ways to acquire it? The answer is apparent. Man attains wisdom when he obeys his conscience and not his vain desires. Wisdom, as is referred in the Quran, is a spiritual tenet experienced in the soul. In more than one verse, there is an explicit reference to the hearts that learn wisdom. Accordingly, we can plainly resolve that real wisdom is far different from intelligence, a mere function of the brain. Wisdom is in the heart, in the soul of man. The Quran points to the fact that wisdom is in the heart, and people devoid of wisdom are lacking in understanding solely because their hearts are sealed. Do they not travel through the land, so that their hearts may thus learn wisdom and their ears may thus learn to hear? Truly, it is not their eyes that are blind, but their hearts which are in their breasts. Surah 22, verse 46. Therefore, the wisdom referred to in the Quran is directly related to the heart and the soul. The interesting thing is that wisdom is not constant. It varies. Intelligence, a function of the brain, does not, however, change except in case of an injury or mental disease. Wisdom, on the other hand, can increase or decrease, a feature closely related to the strengthening of the soul and fear of Allah. In this way, the individual acquires a criterion by which to judge between right and wrong. One who does not fear Allah is entirely deprived of this criterion to judge between right and wrong. A person may be very intelligent. He may be an outstanding physicist, sociologist, or he may have remarkable achievements to his credit. However, if he has no conscience, he surely lacks the true spirit and thus the true wisdom. Let us consider a scientist who has discovered the mysteries of the human body. Let us imagine that rather than expressing his astonishment at the marvels of creation, and praising the Creator, he turns to himself and praises himself for his discovery. This behavior shows that the scientist in question does not possess the spirit and the understanding to conceive of the Creator of that body. The verses of the Quran point to a very clear truth. Faith is something related to the sensitivity of the heart. A person with a heart not hardened has already a tendency to know Allah and obey Him. When the message of the Quran is communicated to him, the comprehension of his heart makes him see the truth, and he believes immediately. However, unbelievers have a different state of mind. They cannot acquire wisdom since their hearts do not have any kind of sensitivity. In such a state, there is also no possibility of belief. In different verses of the Quran, those who are inclined towards faith are told to believe as soon as they hear the message. Unbelievers, on the other hand, never show a propensity for faith. As to those who reject faith, it is the same to them whether you warn them or do not warn them. They will not believe. Allah has set a seal on their hearts and on their hearing, and on their eyes is a veil. Great is the penalty they incur. Surah 2, verse 6 to 7. Wisdom is granted to man by Allah and can be taken back whenever He wills. Intelligence is also bestowed by Allah, yet it is constant. It does not change with time. The increase in wisdom and understanding is in proportion to one's closeness to Allah. Whoever occupies himself with the remembrance of Allah acquires more wisdom and understanding. What does the men of understanding mean then? The answer to this question is provided in the Quran. Vain desires and passions are the major factor that hinder one's heart from understanding. Envy is an example. One cannot expect one whose mind is occupied with the feeling of envy to have wisdom. Under the influence of jealousy, he feels too distracted. He cannot keep himself from thinking about the person he is jealous of. He becomes angry and has a feeling of rancor towards him. In this state of envy, he remains deprived of the ability to think clearly or make sound assessments. All other ambitions and passions are also a hindrance to wisdom. The allure of possessions and wealth greatly influences a man. All mental capabilities are concentrated on ways of gaining more possessions and more money. Fear about the future is the main characteristic of the ignorant people who do not put their trust in Allah. They live a troubled life, one fraught with concerns and fears of getting sick or losing possessions. They spend hours planning their future, surely a major hindrance to clear thinking. Fears and concerns make them feel under pressure and block their mental capabilities to a great extent. Fear of death also poses a hindrance to wisdom. Its thought fills the heart of unbelievers with grief and sorrow. Death comes in a moment, however. Despite this fact, it remains a source of pain for unbelievers all throughout their lives. These are the fears and passions that are a hindrance to understanding. Man, becoming a slave to these passions, can never focus his attention on the main issues that he has to consider. A person should divert all his thinking abilities to his Creator, to his almightiness and the perfection of his creation. Man is responsible for remembering the blessings of Allah, to glorify Him and worship Him. However, a heart full of worldly ambitions fails to occupy itself with the remembrance of Allah, only those who are imbued with understanding, in other words, those who are purified of ambitions, fear, and selfish greed, can have a profound understanding of Allah and obey Him. The men of understanding are the people who take warning and who readily accept the truth communicated to them. They never demonstrate arrogance. They do not insist on their misdeeds. They change as soon as they feel something is erroneous. Their purpose in an argument is to find out the truth, not to impose their opinion on others. That is why in Surah Zumar, verse 18, Allah states that they are those who listen to the word and follow the best in it. Those who are devoid of wisdom and understanding, on the other hand, cannot see the great signs surrounding them. The heavens, the earth, and all that is in between are the signs of Allah. However, unbelievers can never see them. Their sight is blurred with ambitions and worldly pleasures. They put their minds to their minor benefits and selfish desires. Their minds have surely a poor grasp of Allah. That is why Allah introduces Him to us by stating in Surah Shu'ara, verse 28, that He is the Lord of the East and the West, and all between, if you know how to reason. Thus, a person can hope to live a good life both in this world and in the hereafter, only if he measures Allah according to His true power and does his duty to Him. The Quran often refers to the subject of wisdom. In the Quran, Allah defines wisdom as a superior asset He granted to those who fear and heed Him. The extent by which one purifies his heart of worldly desires and selfishness determines the level of wisdom. In this program, we will talk about some factors that cloud wisdom. There are two options for everyone: obeying either Allah or one's vain desires. When a person obeys Allah, he is saved from the dominance of his desires and attains wisdom. The reverse is also true. Worshipping desires destroys wisdom. In case desires have control over one's soul, the heart also becomes sealed. It becomes blunted towards the truth. Thus, the heart loses its properties of understanding and knowing, and becomes dull and loses its sensitivity. In such a state, one can no longer fulfill one's spiritual functions, thus becoming unable to reason. In the process, the individual can never realize that he has lost his understanding, since he has also lost the criteria by which to judge between right and wrong. Although one acquiring wisdom is always aware of his positive change in himself, the same does not hold true for the opposite. This is just like the case of a man who falls into a faint or slips into a coma. In both cases, he would never know what state he has been in until he has recovered. One of the greatest factors which can blur one's wisdom is sentimentalism. This is a quite harmful state of mind which is inimical to the proper functioning of human reason. Indeed, sentimentalism is an explicit danger to reason. It exercises control over the faculty of reason to the point of negative sensible judgments. Under the sway of emotions, a sentimental person can easily engage in unwise and imprudent deeds. A believer, on the other hand, always keeps his emotions under the command of reasoning. The concept of love, for instance, may have two separate dimensions. It may be either emotional or rational. The sentimental person feels a profound attachment for people or objects who truly do not deserve affection. As is prevalent in many cultures, a deep devotion is demonstrated to those who pay no respect to one's devotion or who give pain in return for sincere love. On the contrary, the love of a believer is always based on solid grounds. In the object of his love, he primarily identifies the existence of attributes of faith or attributes of a believer as defined in the Quran. The essence of this attitude of believers, purified of emotion, is no doubt the understanding of love which is peculiar only to believers. Allah informs us about the different concepts of love held by believers and unbelievers in Surah Baqarah, verse 165. Yet there are men who take for worship others besides Allah, as equal with Allah. They love them as they should love Allah. But those of faith are overflowing in their love for Allah. As Allah states in the verse, believers truly love Allah. The affection they feel for people is merely a reflection of their love for Allah. They love the believers because believers are those people who truly adopt the moral framework Allah commands. Unbelievers, on the other hand, live according to their whims and desires. They are inclined to have affection for people or objects individually as they assume everything to have an existence independent of Allah. In the Quran, this is called associating partners with Allah. In the Quran, non-emotive behaviors demonstrated by believers is not limited only to love. There are many other rational kinds of behaviors recounted in the Quran, such as Moses' mother leaving her baby floating in the river without any hesitation when she received inspiration from Allah, the believers restraining their anger and pardoning men, and their spending from what they most dearly love. That they do not despair over matters that pass them by and always behave in a resigned manner also indicates the wisdom believers possess. These examples show that believers must act not emotionally, but according to the commandments and the good pleasure of Allah. However, one point needs further clarification here. Not being sentimental does not in any way mean being insensitive. On the contrary, believers are tender-hearted people. For example, it is said in Surah Tebe, verse 114, that the Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, was most tender-hearted and forbearing. What is criticized about sentimentalism here is its negative aspect prevalent in the culture of an ignorant society. In a sentimental way of thinking, emotions completely cloud the faculty of judgment and make one develop unsound reasoning contrary to the principles of the Quran. In this culture, not the spirit, but the negative side of the soul stirs up these emotions. This results in a melancholic mood in which one takes pleasure from pain. Unquestionably, such a state of mind is by no means reasonable, and anyone who thinks a little can easily understand this. Allah indicates in the Quran those to whom He grants wisdom. According to what is related in the Quran, the main source of wisdom is the fear of Allah. The starting point of fearing Allah is having a conception of the attributes of Allah and of the Day of Judgment. Allah grants man the sense to judge between right and wrong only when man fears Him. This is actually a kind of comprehension attained as a result of the softening of the heart with the fear of Allah. Man should always strive to have more of this fear. To this end, he should pray, reflect on Allah's power, might, and punishment, and endeavor to have a deeper comprehension of Him. Possessing the sense to judge between right and wrong is an indication of the wisdom of a person. Such a person is surely endowed with the capacity to ponder. This gift of comprehension is called insight or vision in the Quran. Etymologically, in Arabic, the origin of the word basira, that is, insight, is to see. Yet this is quite different from the normal act of seeing. A person lacking insight is described as one whose heart and mind is covered, lest he should understand the Quran. In Surah Isra, verse 46. The word understand in the verse is of great significance. In many other verses, the lack of understanding of the unbelievers is mentioned. This conveys a message. In the physical sense, unbelievers perceive what they are told by believers, yet they fail to comprehend the meaning and content of the message. This is a state of inebriation, a shift of consciousness, and a metaphysical fact. Allah also informs us in His verses about a veil cast over their hearts. Unbelievers, every now and then, confess their inherent lack of understanding of the religion communicated to them. This is straightforwardly manifested in the verse which refers to the words of the people of Midian to the prophet Shu'aib, who invited them to the way of Allah. In Surah Hud, verse 91, it is said, O Shu'aib, much of what you say we do not understand. In fact, among us we see that you have no strength. Were it not for your family, we should certainly have stoned you, for you have among us no great position. Consequently, those who turn to faith are solely those who are endowed with wisdom and insight. Being deprived of insight and wisdom, unbelievers think it is of benefit to themselves to avoid committing to the way of Allah. With such an attitude, they commit themselves to dwelling in hell for all eternity, but they unconsciously rejoice in it. Yet, they will feel an eternal regret in the hereafter for what they have done. The only way to be saved from this regret is to fear our Lord as much as we can and be one of the people of understanding. The program you have been listening to was inspired by the works of Harun Yahya, the renowned author whose works on political, faith-related, and scientific issues have changed many people's outlook on life. All of his works are available online on his official homepage at www.harunyahya.com. Please keep tuning in to this channel for further episodes of this program. Thank you.